We're holding on your Tess Omar Aleph fourth line. We're still in the middle of discussing this whole matter of tsrotas, where an animal causes damage indirectly, not, for example, by stepping on something, but rather by stepping on pebbles, which then fly and then damage something else. So we talked about, for example, stepping on one keli and then a fragment of that keli goes and breaks something else, etc. So boy Ravashi, yes shinu litzrodis l'ruvia nezek, or ain't shinu litzrodis l'ruvia nezek. Suppose that an animal does tsrotis in an unusual way. For example, further down on the Amud, the Gemara is going to mention the case where the animal kicked and then that caused pebbles to go flying. So not it was walking in the normal way, which then we said, of course, that would be plain old tsrotis, but rather where, let's say, it kicked and threw up pebbles, and then those pebbles went and caused damage. So to begin with, the tsrotis were caused by something unusual. Would we say that in that case, it's like the equivalent of a tam, where in that case, the question would be then, would it be, in effect, what you have over here is keren, but not keren directly, but rather tsrotis of keren. In other words, the same way as keren itself, when the animal gores, you have chatzi nezek the first few times and the nezek sholem after that. The same way maybe over here with tsrotis of keren, would you maybe pay a quarter of the nezek the first few times and eventually you would pay more. Basically, the question is, in other words, do we say that it's moored to cause pebbles to fly? And therefore, you always pay. And since we've learned before, it's a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, or at least some kind of well-accepted halacha, as again, we'll talk about in a little bit, that you pay chatzi nezek for tsrotis, so maybe it's always chatzi nezek, no more, no less. Or maybe not. Maybe it's not moored for kicking and throwing up pebbles, and therefore... and therefore you're only paying a quarter of the nezek at the beginning. So the Gemara says tishit le midirava. Well, why can't you answer Rav Ashi's question based on what Rava says? Deboi Rava, because we had yesterday, we learned that Rava asked yesh hadol tsroris in hadol tsroris. Rava had asked whether there's such a thing as becoming moored as far as tsuris, where the implication is, if it becomes moored, then you're paying nezek sholin, because that's what it is. A moored always pays nezek sholin. So that being the case then, if Rava is asking whether you ever pay nezek sholin for it, so in that case, Miklal de Ein Shinu. So that would show, in other words, that there's no case where you're paying a quarter, because otherwise, what are you going to have? You're not going to go from a quarter all the way to a whole. You never find a tam paying less than a half. So the very fact that Rava is asking whether there's such a thing as tam and moored by tsurnus, or whether it's always moored, implies that according to the Chachamim, you're always paying half. Fine, according to Sumchos, as we've talked about before, then you're paying the whole thing. So why can't we answer from that? That the answer obviously would be that there's no such thing as a quarter nezek, and therefore the question would be, you're paying half nezek the first few times, but are you ever paying nezek shalom? So then can't we answer Ravashi's question from that? And the answer is not necessarily Dilmud Rava im Tim Saloy Makama, because Rava himself may only be saying it as one of these, if you want to say, im Tim Saloy Ma, ein Shinui, if you're going to say, in other words, Rava may first be asking whether if there's a Shinui with Tsurota, so you're paying a quarter or a half, and then im Tim Saloy Ma, ein Shinui, if you're going to say that there's no such thing as a Shinui, and there's never such a thing as a quarter of a Nezek, then yesh hada or ain hada. So then we could ask further, do you ever go from a half to a whole? So in other words, Rava may be asking both them. Do we say that that a shinui of tsurus would down that are doing tsurus with a shinui, for example, kicking and making pebbles fly, would and then they go and damage something, would be a quarter, and then eventually then after it becomes after and then eventually So you'd pay a quarter maybe, and then you would, so, or do you say that not, you're always paying a half, even in that case, and then on top of that, you'd have the question, can it ever become moored and pay the whole thing? So maybe Rava is asking that, so there'd still be room to ask whether you pay a quarter. And the Gemara says, teku, we're not sure. So therefore, as usual, with these rules of teku, we say that you can't collect on the basis of that, But well, you can collect a, but put it this way, I mean, you would be a pastoralist, then you'd be able to collect a quarter regardless, because either way, you're saying you're entitled to at least a quarter. Would you be able to pay? Would you be able to collect more than that? No, only if you were Tophis, only if you, the Nizek, grabbed something from the Mazik, which we learned the other day. Tophis says only if you grab the actual animal itself that caused the Hezek. And according to many, you've shown him no, if you, no, you could grab any property that belongs to the Nizek. Maybe not grab. There's also Mefoshim that talk about maybe it means that you'd have to have it in your possession. You'd have to have it in your possession to begin with in order for that to be considered. In order to for that to be considered tophis. Whatever the case. So you have these. So in short, then you have in that case, then you have a suffix, and so you pay a quarter. And if the nizik grabs chatzin nizik, then you can't take it away from him. That's usually going to be the rule with these teiku things. And dinei mamonos is going to be you can't collect on it, but if you did, then we can't take it away from you. Okay, boy, Rav Ashi has another question. Going back to we learned before that Sumchos holds that you pay Nezek Shalem for Tzuris. He doesn't hold, as we said before, that there's a difference between the animal itself causing damage and the koyach of the animal causing damage. What about Boi Rav Ashi koyach koyche leSumchos kekoyche dom yeloi? And we had this question before already. Does Rav Ashi does Sumchos consider that koyach koyche, a more indirect koyach, would also be like koichai, and therefore you'd be paying nezek shalom for that. Oiloi or not? The question would be: Mi gomer halacha? Is it that Sumchos has learned the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, the same as everybody else, that there is such a thing as tsroros and that you pay chatzin nezek for it? But umuki lo b'koyach koichai. So he would say, you know, when that applies, only when koyach koichai. So Sumchos would say, in other words, if let's say the animal caused a pebble to fly, and that went and by walking in the normal way, and it went and broke a keli, then Sumchos would say that's considered koichai, and therefore that would still mean nezek shalim. Yes, there's halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai that tsroros you pay chatzin nezek, but maybe Sumchos would hold that would only be if it was koyach koichai. So if that pebble flew and hit keli A, and then a piece of that keli broke off and hit keli B and broke it, then that would be where Sumchos would pay. You would say you pay chatzin nezek for that. So is that so? Or duma like gomer halacha klal, or maybe Sumchos has not even learned, doesn't hold of this halacha in the first place, and he doesn't hold there's ever a case involving koyach or koyach koicha or whatever where you pay chatzin nezek. He would always hold that you pay nezek shalom. Now we talked about the other day. If it is a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, and Rashi over here says that quite clearly, then how could Sumchos disagree with that? You can't disagree with a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. So the Chavis Yoyer in particular talks about this quite a lot. He says the two possibilities. One, not everybody may agree that it's halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. The Gemara never called it that. The Gemara just used the expression Gemara Gomer Law earlier, so that may mean that it's a well-known halacha, but not a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. And therefore, the Rambam in particular, who says that whenever we have something which is known to be a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, nobody argues on it, well then, the Rambam might hold this is not halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, but rather a very well-founded, well-sourced halacha, but nevertheless not l'moshe mi-Sinai, and therefore Sumchos could argue on it. Within Rashi's opinion that says that does call it halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, the Chavis Yoyer points out that we have elsewhere where Tosfos says that conceivably, now the Rambam holds a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, not only nobody argues on it, but it can never actually be forgotten. That anything that's any halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai is always going to be known from generation to generation and never forgotten. But Tosfos elsewhere discusses not necessarily, and therefore once it's forgotten, of course, and they have to reconstruct it logically, there may be machlokas in it. So Rashi may hold the same way, and therefore he has no problem with Sumchos arguing on halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, because he would understand that this halacha was one of the ones that was forgotten. For example, the Gemara tells us in Temura that after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, they forgot hundreds of halachas, and then when they reconstructed it, then there would end up being machlokas about it. Okay. Anyway, the Gemara says teiku. So again, we're not sure what Sumchos would hold as far as koyach koyach. Okay. Getting back to the Mishnah now, we said hoysim of a etes.
So what's the halacha on koyach koyach?
So the halacha is like the chachamim anyway. The chachamim and the halacha is not like sumchus. So the halacha is like the chachamim that sroris you're paying chatzi nezek. Koyach koychoy, then you're also paying chatzi nezek. That's going to be so. Therefore it's going to be chatzi nezek regardless whether the first keli that broke with the pebble or whether the other one that broke because of it. So the Gemara said, so now the Mishnah had said a hosim of a etas. We said if the animal was kicking, oshahu tsuris menats in tachas ragleha, or there were pebbles flying out from under its feet, v'shiber es hakelim, and it breaks kelim with that. Mishalim chatzi nezek. So then we said you pay chatzi nezek. As far as the kicking, so now the Gemara is going to ask what we mean by the kicking. And we know that kicking itself, after all, is a tolda of keren. We learned that at the beginning of the Masechta. So iboyelahu heichi kamer. So they had the Amoraim had the question, what does the Mishnah mean? Hoisim of etes, does it mean the animal was kicking a keli, the hizikab of iota, and damaged the keli directly by kicking it without tsroris, and therefore that would be part of keren? Oit tsroris machnas biot, or a second, or oit tsroris ka'ochayu, or that it made pebbles fly in the normal way. So in other words, there are two cases over here. One which is a tolda of keren, one which is tsroris, which is a tolda of regel, and mishalom chatzin nezek. And in either case, he's paying chatzin nezek v'rabbanani. And in that case, our Mishnah would be like the chachamim. That tsroris, you're always paying half. And as far as keren, well, there you have the difference between tam and mord and kicking being a tolda of keren, then you're paying half. So is that oiduma hoisim of etes? Or maybe you could also understand that the Mishnah means that the animal was kicking the hizika bivi uta. It damaged with its kicking, which again would be keren oitzurus machmas biut, or that the kicking caused it to make pebbles fly up. Mishalom chatzin nezek. Then either way he would be paying chatzin nezek because either way it would be a form of keren. So whether it damaged directly or indirectly, then with keren there's not necessarily a difference. So then you're paying chatzin nezek. Ha ki urche mishalom nezek shalim. In which case the implication would be that if it damages in the normal way without kicking, if it's just walking along and pebbles fly. And then they hit something, then the Mishnah would seem to be implying that in that case you pay nezek shalim, umani sumchosi, in which case it would come out that our Mishnah holds, in which case our it would come out that our Mishnah holds like sumchos. So what is it? So toshma mi sefer. So okay, let's try to prove from the sefer of the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues, dursalachli, if the animal stepped on a keli v'shavautu and it broke it, the nafalak shever al kliach of a shavrei, and then a piece of that keli fell on something else and broke it. We said al rishon mashalim nezek shalim v'ala achron chatzin nezek. So then you would pay nezek shalim for the first one because the first one is regel, and the second one being tsrurus, then you would pay chatzin nezek. The isumchos. Now, if the Mishnah was like sumchos, mi isrei chatzin nezek. Does sumchos hold a chatzin nezek? Didn't we just establish all this time we've been saying that that sumchos holds nezek shalim for tsururus, and this would be classic tsururus. V'chi tema rishon lahataza v'sheni sheni lahataza. You might answer, maybe not. Maybe rishon doesn't mean that. Maybe when the Mishnah says that it stepped on a keli and broken, and then another piece fell on another keli, we said ala rishon v'ala achron. Maybe rishon and achron don't mean the first one that he stepped on, and then a different one. Maybe it means the first one would be the first one that was hit by the pebble, and the second one would be the second one. In other words, what we consider is maybe you have three kalim involved over here. The animal stepped on kali A and broke it. That's regel. Then a piece of A went flying and hit B. That would be tsuris. That would be koichai. And then a piece of B went and hit C, which is koyach koichai. So the first one is directly he stepped on it, so therefore it would be regal. So the Mishnah had said dors al kli v'shavarto v'nafal ashever al kli acha v'shavrei. Maybe the Mishnah is implying that there was a whole chain reaction over here. It stepped on keli A, which then hit keli B, which then a piece of it hit keli C. So, and then it's saying that, and then it's saying that the that so let's say Nezek Shalom for the first one, no question about that, because it's regal. Nezek Shalom for the second one, maybe, because when we say the second one, the Mishnah would be calling the second one the first, because the first one that was hit indirectly, that was hit by the tzuras, and therefore the Mishnah could be like Sumchus, who would be saying you pay Nezek Shalom for that. And then Ha'achron, or Hasheni, would be the third one, would be Keli C, which was then hit by a piece of Keli B, which then we'd say, even Sumchos maybe would say you pay Chatzin Nezek for that. So you're going to say that. So in that case, the Mishnah, V'shani lego Sumchos ben koicha l'koyach koicha, in which case we would say that Sumchos draws a distinction between koicha and koyach koicha. So he would say B was hit by koicha, therefore nezek shalem. C was hit by koyach koicha, therefore chatzi nezek. Can't be. Eloch deboy Rav Ashi. What about this that Rav Ashi had asked, where he asked just before, koyach koicha l'sumchos ke koicha dami, I love ke koicha dami, where he's asking what sumchos holds as far as koyach koicha, if the Mishnah is like sumchos, and you're going to say that it's drawing a distinction between koicha and koyach koicha, well then tifshit like kalab ke koicha dami. Then that shows that obviously, sumchos does not hold that koicha is like koyach koicha, otherwise you'd be saying that you pay nezek shalim for all three kalim. So you can't say the Mishnah is like Sumchos. Necessarily, the Mishnah has to be going like the Chachamim. And therefore, when the Mishnah mentions the animal kicking, we have to mean that there's two different cases. One where it kicked, which therefore it's Chatzin Nezek because it's a Tolda of Keren. And the other one where the... the second one would be Tzuris. Hoysim of Etis would be that it's kicking. Oisha Hoyut Tzuris Mevnatzin. Or it was walking normally and pebbles were flying. So either way, the Chachamim are saying Chatzin Nezek, one because of Keren, the other one because of Tzuris. That seems to be how you have to understand the Mishnah. The Gemara says not necessarily because Rav Ashi could have bonon mukhiva, because Rav Ashi may well be asking the Mishnah specifically according to the Chachamim. He may be understanding, in other words, that the Mishnah is specifically according to the Chachamim. You're saying that there are two ways of understanding the Mishnah, like the Chachamim or like Sumchus, and that will depend on the question, what do we mean, Hoysim of Etes and Tzuras? Are they two different cases, or is it one continuous case? So Rav Ashi may understand like the first way. So he may understand the Mishnah is like the Chachamim. So the Mishnah wouldn't tell us anything about Sumchos's opinion. So therefore, his question would be as follows. If the animal was kicking, the Zika Baviota, and it caused damage with its kicking, or did Tzuris in the normal way, Chatzi Nezek, does that imply that Machmas Biot Revia Nezek? Does that imply that if the animal kicked and then caused pebbles to fly, that would be a Shinui in Tzuris, and the result would be a quarter Nezek? Now, earlier on the Omud, we had two questions of Rav Ashi's. The first question was about, is there Shinui L'Tzuris or not? Is there ever such a thing as Revia Nezek when it comes to Tzuris? So now, in other words, Rashi says, what the Gemara is saying now is that question of Rav Ashi's emerges from a possible understanding of our Mishnah. If we assume that our Mishnah goes like the Chachamim, then the Mishnah may be implying that you have two cases where there's Chatzi Nezek, but there's one case where there would be Revia Nezek. Namely, the two cases of Chatzi Nezek would be where it's kicking alone and kicks a keli and breaks it. That would be Keren. The other one is Tzuris, also Chatzi Nezek. And then on the other hand, if you have a combination of both, if it's kicking and makes pebbles fly, that would be a Shinui within Tzuris. That would therefore, in effect, you could call it Tzuris of Keren, and therefore maybe you're paying only a quarter Nezek.
That's
Rav Ashi had asked that before, whether there's such a thing. So is that? Or do we have to understand the Mishnah that it means that the animal was, number one, that the animal was kicking normally, and that the animal was kicking and caused damage with the kicking, or the other case would be where it kicked and then sent pebbles flying, then chatzi nezek, in which case we would say there's no difference between within Tzuris, whether there was a Shinui or not. So in that case, you would always be paying Chatzin Nezek. So that would be, so you would have two ways. So even within the Chachamim's opinion, you have two ways of understanding our Mishnah. And Rav Ashi's question before about yes shinu letzroros or ein shinu letzroros would depend on how we learn the Mishnah over here. And the answer is, again, teiku, we can't prove that one way or the other. There's two different ways of learning the Mishnah. Rashi, within that, by the way, has two ways of understanding the Gemara's argument over here, what the Gemara's two possibilities are over here. One is that we're saying actually Rashi's question is going to be really on the next piece, so we'll get to that in a second. Okay, in any case, the point is that Rav Ashi may hold, for sure the Mishnah is not like Sumchus. So there's no way of deriving Sumchus' opinion from that. That is why Rav Ashi asked, what would Sumchus hold as far as Koyach Koichai? If he understood that the Mishnah was like Sumchus, then he'd have his answer to Koyach Koichai from our Mishnah, because we could assume, since we know that Sumchus holds Tzeroris is Nezik Sholem, then the result would be that when the Mishnah mentioned there's a Keli for which you pay only Chatzi Nezik, necessarily that would have to be the third Keli. And that Koyach Koichai would be different. But once Rav Ashi is establishing that the Mishnah is like the Chachamim, then within that, you can have the question, is the Mishnah implying that there's a case of quarter Nezik, namely where there was a Shinui in Tzurdus, or maybe not, maybe in all cases of Tzurdus, you're paying Chatzi Nezik. Separately than that, if the animal kicks, you're also paying Chatzi Nezik, because that's Keren. Okay. Next, Bominei Rav Abba Bamemel Merav Ami. So now Rav Abba Bar Memel has a related question that he asked Rav Ami. The Amri Lam Rav Chia Bar Abba. Others say that he asked Rav Chia Bar Abba. Hoisa mahalachas b'makim she'i efshala ella imkein minatezes. Suppose that the animal was walking in a place where it's impossible for it to not make pebbles fly, because there's a lot of pebbles over there, and no matter what, even if it walks normally, pebbles are going to go flying, and Caleb may get damaged. Keep in mind, by the way, of course, you know, all this time, we've been assuming that Sroros is part of being part of Regal, means you'd be chayev in Rosh Hashanah. The next piece of the Gemara actually is going to take up that point. Or you chayev for it, if it's Regal, you're potter for it in Rosh Hashanah. Regal, we've learned before, you're potter. So would it be the same case over here? In that case, it would only be chayev if the stone went and hit something in Rosh Hashanah, or would we not say that? That's going to be the next piece after this. But anyway. So now the question is, the animal is walking in a place where it's impossible for pebbles to not go flying. But instead of walking normally, now instead the animal kicked and that sent pebbles flying and then it caused damage. So mahu, what would be the din? Kiven de efshala urchehu. Would we say that since it's impossible otherwise, necessarily pebbles are going to fly anyway, it's almost like psychrasia. So therefore, urchehu, it should be considered the normal kind of thing. So it should be considered like regular tzoros. Or duma hashda miha machmas biut kamenatz tzoros. Or maybe not. Maybe you would say the fact is right now the tzoros went flying because it kicked. And therefore, that would be considered a shinui in tzoros. And therefore, if we say, as Rav Ashi said before, there's the possibility that with shinui of tzoros, you're paying a quarter nezek, then maybe in this case, you'd also be paying a quarter nezek. That's Rashi's first explanation. Then Rashi gives a second explanation. The question would be, when the Gemara is asking urchehu or not, the question would be, would we say urchehu, and therefore it's considered tzeroros, and it's a tolda of regel, so it wouldn't even matter, no matter how many times the animal has done it. Rava asked the question before, whether yesh ha'adol letzeroros or ein ha'adol letzeroros. We ended up saying that there's no such thing as hadar for tzeroros. Only according to Sumchus can we even talk about hadar for tzeroros. According to the Chachamim, it's irrelevant, because tzeroros are always paying chatzin nezek. So it doesn't matter how many times the animal has been moored that it kicks and sends pebbles flying. The fact is, we're always going to consider it tzeroros. Is that the way we would say it? Or we would say, since it did because of kicking, then therefore, if it does it enough times, then you're going to pay nezek sholem, because then it would be part of keren. So Rashi brings that explanation from his Rebbe, but he says he prefers the first explanation. The Gemara is not asking whether it's ever going to become moored. The Gemara is asking, if you say a quarter of nezek for Shinui and Sirius, then would this be one of those cases? Were you paying only a quarter, or do we say that since inevitably pebbles would have flown, then therefore Chatzi Nezek? Tosfos brings, but rejects a third possibility that we're talking about. The question is, if it were to happen in Rosh Hashanah Abim, then maybe you'd be potter altogether, because Tosfos says in that case, then it should have presented the case where it's walking in Rosh Hashanah Abim. Here it doesn't say Rosh Hashanah Abim, so the implication is, no matter what Rishus you're in, either way the question would still be. So therefore, so you have Rashi's two Pirushim, that the question is whether a quarter versus a half, or whether is it considered regal or is it considered keren. And again, the Gemara says teku, we can't be sure. So therefore, again, you know, as usual, you're entitled to a certain amount of the payment, at least according to Rashi's first lashon, you'd be entitled to a quarter. And then if you're a tofus a half, then it can't be taken away from you. And according to Rashi's second explanation, the result would be that depending whether it's in Rosh Hashanah Yachid or Rosh Hashanah Rabim, you're going to have the different dinim, because if it's Rego versus Keren, one is Chayiv in Rosh Hashanah Rabim and the other one is Potter. Now we did learn yesterday, the Rosh points out, we learned yesterday, we had the question about Bosser Me'ikra Azlinan or Bosser Tova Mana Azlinan. We said, we have the question, suppose the animal stepped on a keli and it didn't break right then, but it rolled someplace else and broke, then what do we say as far as it, what do we say as far as the owner's chiyuv? We talked about at the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We had that question, and we mentioned in that case, we mentioned Rabba's case where Shimon throws Reuven's keli off a roof and Levi goes and breaks it. Meanwhile, now on the face of it over here, when you have the that really belongs to the next case. I'm getting confused over here. What belongs to what? Okay, fine. Bomine Reb Yumia min Reb Zera. Now, Reb Yumia has a question of Reb Zera. Hoisem ha'alachas b'rishus ha'rabim. If the animal was walking in rishus ha'rabim, u'bota v'hitiza v'hizika, and the animal kicks and causes pebbles to fly, and it causes damage. Now, you notice the word uvata here is in parenthesis, because you have two different ways that the Mephoshim understand the question of the Gemara. Are we understanding that the question is strictly if it kicked, in which case the question would be whether it's considered keren or regal, or the question is without the kicking, and the question would be, even without the kicking, maybe since we're saying that you pay chatzi nezek for tzuras, maybe to that extent it's considered like keren, and therefore chayev in Rosh Hashanah Abim, as opposed to if we consider it exclusively regal, then it's potter in Rosh Hashanah Abim. There's a lot of discussion about it among the Mephoshim, whether to have this word in, because the question is, at the beginning of the Masechta, we said when we were talking about the Tzurus of the Obis Nezikin, we mentioned there that we mentioned that Tzurus is Potter in Rosh Hashanah Rabim. So how can the Gemara be asking the question now? So therefore, it would have to be that the Gemara must be talking about Bota, where it kicked and then caused the pebbles to fly, and the question then would be whether it's Keren or whether it's still Tzurus, which is Regal, and therefore that would affect the question whether you're Chayiv in Rosh Hashanah Abim or not. On the other hand, Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz says that doesn't really fit with the continuation of the Gemara, and therefore he says that the question is, as far as regular tzurus, sure, if there was a shinui, then you're going to be chayiv in Rosh Hashanah Abim, that's keren. But here, where it's regular tzurus, so the Gemara is not written in chronological order. The Gemara is written in topical order. So once our Gemara discusses this point, and we establish that you're chayiv for tzurus in Rosh Hashanah Abim, then the Gemara can say it as a given on Gimel Amud Beis that that's the case. But not necessarily did the Gemara originally start with that understanding. And then there's further discussion about that. In fact, the Maharat now Rashi at least seems to have the word of Vata, because he understands in accordance with that. On the other hand, the Maharam says that Rashi also would take out the word of Vata and then explain more like Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz that the question is without it kicking, stam walking in Rosh Hashanah Abim and causing pebbles to fly, is that considered keren or is that considered regal?
But if he's just walking regular and things are flying, he's going to be the Balabas B'Tayev?
Well, he's Chayev because of Tzuris. The question is, on what grounds? So again, if we say Uvata, if we have the word Uvata here in the Gemara, it means with the animals kicking and then pebbles are flying. Without the word Uvata, the question is, plain and simple, given that Tzuris are part of Regal, and Regal, we know your potter in Rosh Hashanah, would Tzuris be the same way or not? So the question is, look, Keren Minaminim Lev Chayevas, do we compare it to Keren, and therefore you're going to be Chayev even in Rosh Hashanah, Chatzi Nezek? And after all, the similarity would be because either way, because Tzurdus Yuchayev Chatzi Nezek, Keren Yuchayev Chatzi Nezek, so maybe there's that similarity between them. Oy Dilma told the regular who Uptura. Maybe it's considered a tolda of regal. All normal tzuris are considered a tolda of regal, and therefore ptura. Therefore, in Rosh Hashanah, you're going to be potter. So the whole discussion, all this time that we've been having about tzuris, according to that, would only be if it was in Rosh Hashanah Nizek or Rosh Hashanah, where both of them have the right to be, etc. Yeah. Omalei, so Rav Zera answers, Mistabra, tolda of regal. It's logical to say that tzuris is a tolda of regal, and therefore he's going to be potter in Rosh Hashanah. So again, if we had the word of Vata in the beginning of the question, then the answer would be, even if Vata, nevertheless, because it was Tzuris, we would consider it part of Regal, even though there was a Shinri. And if we don't have the word of Vata, it would mean, forget about the case of kicking, Stam, regular Tzuris are considered a part of Keren. If it kicked, then we can talk about whether maybe it's part of Keren. But otherwise, it would be part of Regal, rather. And Regal is part of Rosh Hashanah.
Okay, but if it's not Regal, but if it would be the other one?
If it's Keren, yeah. Then he's Chayiv and Rosh Hashanah. Yeah.
Because he's not walking around, he's kicking.
Right, that's the question. But again, that's if we have the word of water. If we don't have the word of water, the question is, Tzuris themselves, the very fact that you're paying Chatzi Nezek for Tzuris, maybe that makes them similar to Keren, where also you're paying Chatzi Nezek, at least at the beginning, and Keren, Chayiv and Rosh Hashanah, so therefore, maybe Tzuris you would be as well. So Rav Zera is saying, no, you're potter for them in Rosh Hashanah. Well, Rav Yirmiya continues with the question. He's Zika. What would happen if the pebbles flew from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah and caused the damage over there? So then what would be the din then? Zera answers him, Akira ein kan, hanocha yesh kan. Think of it in terms of the halachas of Shabbos, where you need Akira v'hanocha, you need to pick up something and then put it down someplace else. If the Akira over here, you're potter for, had this pebble flown only in Rosh Hashanah, we just established that you'd be potter because it's part of Regal. So then if there's no Akira, if you're potter for the Akira, how can you be chayev for the hanocha when it's even though it's in a different Roshus? Yes, in a different Roshus, you're going to be chayev for Tzuris. But the fact is, the pebble didn't start flying from there. It started flying from Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, you should be potter. However, Eisvei. He asks him from a brisa. Hoisa mahalechas baderech. A brisa says, if the animal was walking on the road, which is Rosh Hashanah, v'tiza, and it caused pebbles to fly, bein Rosh Hashanah, bein Rosh Hashanah, whether in Rosh Hashanah or whether in Rosh Hashanah, chayev. Either way, the owner was going to be paying chatzin nezek. Now, my lab, v'tiza Rosh Hashanah, v'zika Rosh Hashanah, shouldn't we assume that when the Braise says that he zika bein Rosh Hashanah means that it caused pebbles to fly in Rosh Hashanah, and the damage was also in Rosh Hashanah. So in that case, then that would contradict what Rav Zera had just said, that you're potter for it in Rosh Hashanah. So the answer is loy, not necessarily. No, the braisa may mean, in other words, that the pebbles flew from Rosh Hashanah and they landed in Rosh Hashanah and caused damage over there. That's the question. V'ha'amrit akira ein kan hanocha yesh kan. Didn't you just say, though, that even in that case, you potter? Omalei, so Rav Zera says, hadri be, you're right, I changed my mind. You're right, you can only be, you can potter him when the damage was in Rosh Hashanah. But yes, if damage took place in Rosh Hashanah, we're not going to compare it to Hilchos Shabbos and say, you need akira v'hanocha. It's enough that the damage took place in Rosh Hashanah, therefore he is going to be chayev. So the Braisa, therefore, is talking about that case. So when the Braisa says, V'tiza, bein Rishos HaYachid, bein Rishos HaRabim Chayiv, doesn't mean that the damage was caused in Rishos HaRabim, because then he'd be potter. It means whether it was walking in Rishos HaRabim and flew into Rishos HaYachid, or whether it was walking in Rishos HaYachid and flew into Rishos HaYachid, either way he's Chayiv. So now comes the Rosh and points out, you know, we learned on Yitzayin Amud Beis, we had the point over there where Rava had asked, suppose the animal steps on a keli and it doesn't break just then, but it rolls someplace else and breaks. Do we consider, is he chayev, on what grounds is he chayev? Do we say we go according to Me'ikra, according to the original, and the animal stepped on the keli and therefore it would be regal, or would we consider that we go basa tova mana, we go according to when it broke, and then already it would only be tsuris and only chatzi nezek? Now, our Gemara would seem to bear on that, because here we're talking about that you go according to where the damage began and where it ended. It began with the pebble flying from Rishos HaRabim, but it ended with the damage taking place in Rishos HaYachid. Now, Tosfos earlier had pointed out that there's a difference between throwing the keli itself versus throwing something at the keli. So according to Tosfos, the question may not begin, really, because there it's talking about where the animal caused the keli itself to move, whereas here you're talking about a pebble that hit the keli. But the Rosh gives a different answer. The fact is, when it comes to certain nizokin, in particular regel, shein and regel, we say that those it has to be in Rosh Hashanah Nizek or via b'sdei acher. So therefore, here we have more reason to say that we should ignore the fact that it started in Rosh Hashanah Abim and focus on the fact that the damage took place in Rosh Hashanah Yachin. So it may not be the same as Robert's question over there, where Robert's question over there involved all in the same Rishus. We're talking about different Rishus. And since Xeris HaKosu, that regal applies only in Rishus HaNizek, then therefore we have to focus on that. Okay. So Reb Yumia asked another question on Reb Zera. Now, why he has to ask a second question where Reb Zera already said that he changed his mind? I haven't seen anybody explaining that, but Papashtos, because Reb Zera wanted to see if Reb Yumia wanted to see if Reb Zera might have a different answer to explain these other cases, that these other brises and other cases that he's going to bring him, or each time is he going to say, you're right, this would be according to my original understanding, and now I've changed, or no, this would be according to now my new understanding, you're right, according to my old understanding, there'd be no way of explaining this. Anyway, so Eistrei, Dorsalakli, we said in the Mishnah that if an animal steps on a keli, the Shavartu, and he breaks it, right? And a piece of that fell on another keli and broke it. Then you're paying Nezek Shalim for the first one because Regal and Chatzin Nezek for the last one, which we said before we had two ways of understanding that. We can understand that according to the Chachamim or according to Sumchos. According to the Chachamim, we can say there are two kelim involved, and according to Sumchos, we said maybe there are three kelim involved. But anyway, according to the Chachamim, we're talking about the first one is Regal and the second one is Tzuris. V'toni Allah, and we learn a Braisa about that. V'med v'ram amurim, when would all that apply? Rishus HaNizek, only if the damage took place in the Rishus of the Nizek, which is where you're chayev for Regal. Abel Rishus HaRabim, but if it took place in Rishus HaRabim, Alarishin Ptura, the first one you're potter, because Regal you're potter in Rishus HaRabim, V'ala Achron Chayevus, and you're near chayev for the second one, Chatzin Nezek. So again, my love, she teaser Rishus HaRabim, Vizik Rishus HaRabim. Shouldn't we assume, asks Rabbi Yumia, that what the Braisa means is that it caused the piece to fly in Rosh Hashanah Abim, and the damage was in Rosh Hashanah Abim. So again, you would see that Tzuris applies even in Rosh Hashanah Abim. And the answer is like before, No, again, what it means is that the piece of the keli flew from Rosh Hashanah Abim to Rosh Hashanah Yochid and hit a keli over there and broke it. Didn't you say that you can't hold like that because the Akira your potter, therefore your potter for the Hanocha? And again, he answers Omalei Hadri B. He says, I changed my mind already, and you're right, there wouldn't be any way of explaining this Braisa according to my original understanding. Only once I've changed my mind, then we're saying that's what it means. So it's certainly it doesn't mean that when the damage completely took place in Rosh Hashanah Abim, because then you'd be potter for either keli, the first one because it's regal, and the second one because it's tzuris, which is a tolda of regal, and you potter for all of those in Rosh Hashanah Abim, as Reb Zera had said before, Mistam told of the regal. And it's based on this that, again, the Gemara on Gimel Amud Beis had taken it as a given when it summarized the halachas of Tzuraris, that you put that you potter in Rosh Hashanah. But as far as the case where the Braisa says that there's a case where you'd be chayev, that would be where the actual damage took place in Rosh Hashanah. Okay. So then Reb Yirmiyah continues to Reb Zera Eini. Is that so that we would say that you potter but Tzuraris in Rosh Hashanah? The difference being, until now, we were bringing from the Shnayas or Brises. Now he's going to bring from a statement of an Amor. So the Eisvei is the term, Meisvei or Eisvei or things like that, are used when you're asking a question from a Mishnah or a Brisa. When it comes to a question from an Amora, technically Reb Zera is also an Amora. He could argue with Reb Yochanan that we're going to bring now. Therefore, he can't ask him Eisvei, like if I show you that your opinion doesn't fit with Reb Yochanan, we can't say I've schlugged you up. Which would be Eisvei from the same shortage as Tzuvta. So Eisvei is when, if the challenge is upheld, then you're completely refuted. Here you can't do that. So therefore the question is, Eini, is that so? Like, in other words, what you're saying doesn't fit with what Rabbi Yochanan says. If you want to tell me you disagree with Rabbi Yochanan, fine, look, you're an Amora, you're entitled to, but is it so that in fact you disagree with him? Va'amr Rabbi Yochanan, doesn't Rabbi Yochanan say later in this parak, Ein Chatzin, now you have like this. We've discussed a few times already the machloikas of Reb Taruf and the Chachamim about Keren Birshus HaNizek, whether you're paying Nezek Sholim. Reb Taruf holds that Keren in Rishus HaNizek, you're always paying Nezek Sholim, and the Chachamim would say that no, if it's Tam Chatzin Nezek. We're going to talk about that in more detail later on in the parak. So now, in the course of that discussion, the Gemara brings up a point. Why don't we say, why don't we turn the Kal V'Chomer around the opposite way and say Madach you potter for Regal and Rosh Hashanah, then you should be potter for Keren Rosh Hashanah, because after all Regal you're potter in Rosh Hashanah, but Regal when you're paying Nezek Sholem, Keren you're only paying Chatzin Nezek at least at the beginning, so maybe you should be potter in Rosh Hashanah. If Regal is stronger because you're paying Nezek Sholem. And yet you potter for it in Rosh Hashanah. So Keren, which is weaker because you don't even pay Nezek Sholem for it the first few times, maybe the first few times you should be potter in Rosh Hashanah altogether. The Gemara brings up that possibility later on in the parak. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Ein Chatzi Nezek Choluk, Loi Lo Shosei Yochid, Loi Lo Shosei Rabin. There's no difference regarding Chatzi Nezek, whether Rosh Hashanah Yochid or Rosh Hashanah Rabin. So now, on the face of it, when Rabbi Yochanan says Chatzin Nezek, he means any kind of Chatzin Nezek, whether Keren or whether Tzuris. So therefore, my lab, Hitiza B'Shosarabim, Vizika B'Shosarabim. Well, then, wouldn't Rabbi Yochanan be including with that the case where the pebbles went flying in Rosh Hashanah and the damage took place in Rosh Hashanah? And in that case, then that shows, not like you're saying, that you're potter for Tzuris in Rosh Hashanah. So the answer is no. No, when Rabbi Yochanan says there's no difference in Shasi Yachid or Shasi Rabim, he means where the pebble came flying from, but not where it damaged. The damage has to be in Shasi Yachid. So va'amet akira en kana nocha yeshkan, omalei hadri bi. Again, he says, I changed my mind. Ibori seima, or here at least we do have a different possible answer. Ki omer Rabbi Yochanan akeren. Rabbi Yochanan may only be referring to Keren. He may not be referring to Tzuris at all. So he would say later on in the parak when Rabbi Yochanan makes this point, he says the reason why he learns it from extra words in the pasuk. The pasuk is talking about Keren. The pasuk is not talking about Tzuris. The whole concept of Tzuris is part of Torah Shabbat Be'er, whether it's a halacha of the Moshe Sinai or whether it's some other kind of well-known halacha. Either way, it's not there in the pasukim. So therefore, so the pasuk, the pasukim that Rabbi Yochanan learns from are talking strictly about Keren. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan's point that he says Ein Chatzi Nezek Choluk may be referring only to Keren. So in that case, at least there wouldn't be a contradiction from Rabbi Yochanan's statement to Rabbi Zera, because Rabbi Yochanan is not addressing Tzuris in his statement at all. So of the three things that Rabbi Yirmiyah brought to try to contradict Rabbi Zera, two of them Rabbi Zera said, you're right, you can't understand them according to my original understanding, only according to my revised understanding. The third one was saying we don't necessarily have to do that. We could say Rabbi Yochanan is talking about a completely different case that's not relevant to this. He's talking about Keren, whereas we're dealing over here with Tzuris. Yeah. Okay. The Gemara continues. Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Nesia and Rabbi Oshia Akila de Rabbi Yehuda. One time Rabbi Yehuda Nesia and Rabbi Oshia were sitting in the Kila of Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi explains that a kila is like a foyer to the entranceway in front of the house. So they were sitting over there. Nafak milsam aminayu, and the following point came out from between them. In other words, they were discussing the following point. We don't know which is the one who asked the question and which is the one who gave the answer, but and went back and forth over there. But we know that this discussion took place between them. Kishkishab is nova mabu. What would happen if the animal was walking along and wagging its tail in Rosh Hashanah, and with the wagging its tail, it broke kalim mahu? What would be the din? Or you chayev to pay or not? The question basically would be: is it the normal thing to do? So therefore, it's regal, or is it not the normal thing to do? And therefore he'd be therefore not tsuris really, because it's the actual body of the animal itself, but it would be kerem. Be Karen. So Karen, you chayev in Rosh Hashanah, but only chatzin nezek. Rego, you potter in Rosh Hashanah, but where it's in Rosh Hashanah, you're paying nezek shalim. Karen, you potter. Karen, you're paying only chatzin nezek the first few times, only if it comes more. But you chayev for it in any rishus. If it's regular, if we consider it's a normal thing for the animal to wag its tail, you potter in Rosh Hashanah. We've been saying all this time, nego you potter in Rosh Hashanah. But when you chayev to pay in Rosh Hashanah nizek, then you pay nezek sholim.
Karen, Karen, yeah, normal.
Yeah, no, it's, no, Karen is not normal.
That's
normal.
Yeah, that's
right. So, so omer le'idach. So the other one. So the other one answers. The question would be really, of course, the question is twofold. The question is in Rosh Hashanah, but the question would also be in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, what would happen? Is he paying chatzi nezek or nezek shalom? So Amalei Idach, the other one says, do you expect the owner to hold on to the animal's tail as it's walking? No. So therefore, you have to potter him. You have to potter him. It has to be considered like regal, the same way as he has the right to have his animal walk in Rosh Hashanah, the same way he has the right to, as normal as the animal walks along, that it's going to wag its tail. Right. So the question is, Yehochi, so in that case, Keren Nami name of Yechazenim, Keren V'yelech. So you could ask the same thing about Keren. Is the owner supposed to hold on to the Keren the whole time as he's walking? Of course not. So therefore, you'd say you have potter for Keren Rosh Hashanah. And the fact is, Rabbi Yechanan just told us that it's not so.
Is that a comparison?
And therefore, the answer is, Hochi Hashta. How are you comparing? Keren lav urche. It's not normal for the animal to gore with its keren ha urche, but it's normal for it to wag its tail. So therefore, so keren is unusual. Wagging its tail is usual. Therefore, one is keren and the other one is regal. One of the ways actually that Mefoshim have to explain the question of the Gemara, I think the Rashba explains it this way, is the question is basically the distinction is basically keren, being that it's unusual. Yes, it's your responsibility to make sure that your animal doesn't do unusual things like that. It's not your responsibility to make sure that your animal doesn't do normal things. Yeah, but so you have actually there is a good deal of discussion. Now the Gemara is going to continue and say over here that the question. Well, let's finish the Gemara and then we'll talk about okay. Therefore, you obviously can't compare it to Karen. Well, the Gemara says, well, if it's normal for the animal to wag its tail, then what's the question in the first place? And the answer is kishkush yiseir amiboyle. The question is, that was asked, the question is, what about if it's wagging its tail more than usual? So then the question would still be, is that still considered Urche? Is that still considered urche or not? And so in other words, we're talking about where if it had wagged its tail normally, then nothing would have happened. But because it wagged it more than normal, then therefore now it broke a keli. So now the question would be, so now you have a good deal of discussion. So the Ravid understands that to begin with, obviously they both understood we're not talking about normal wagging. They both understood the question in the first place was about an unusual amount of wagging. Is that considered normal or is that considered mishuna? So the first answer would be, what could the owner have done? It's not normal for it to it's not normal for it to wag its tail very much, but it is normal for it to wag its tail b'chlal, and you can't control whether it's doing one or the other. So then he says in that case, Karen Nami, and the answer is that Karen, the animal normally doesn't gore at all. As opposed to the fact is, it's normal for the animal to wag its tail somewhat, and you can't really draw the line where it's considered too much wagging. So the Ravid understands the whole flow of the Gemara that way. The Rashba understands a different way that, look, given that an animal doesn't normally gore, you have every right to take your animal out and not and expect that it's not going to gore. And then if you do, then you're going to be chayiv for it. But you do have the right to take the animal out to begin with. But when it comes to wagging, if you're going to make him make sure that it doesn't even wag its tail at all, it'll be impossible for him to take out his animal. So therefore, you would have good reason to say that he's not chayev. But the Gemara is asking, fine, if it wagged its tail not normally, if it wagged it too much, then it might be Karen. Right. Maybe to that extent, maybe he does have the responsibility to see to it that that it doesn't do that. And if he is, then we can be machayev.
Don't take him
out. Yeah. Okay. Boy Rav Eina. So now Rav Eina has a related question. Kishkisha ba'amosa mahu. What would happen if instead of wagging its tail, if the animal wagged its male organ and then caused damage with that?
Wow.
Yeah. The question would be, mi aminin midi dehavia keren. Would we compare it then to keren? Keren lav yitzroka tokifle. With keren, what is it that causes the animal to cause the lav yitzroka tokifle? Isn't it what makes the animal cause damage with keren is the fact that its yetzahara is getting the better of it. It feels and it's in a bad mood and therefore it goes and gores. Hochanami loishna. Here, why would it be wagging its aver like that? Its ama is because also it's having it's in heat. It's in the mood. So therefore it should be considered keren. Oduma keren kavanos lahazik. Ha in kavanos lahazik. Or you could argue that the difference is with keren, the animal intends to cause damage. Here, it's not intending to cause damage. It just has a yetzahara. It has a behemish need. So again, you have different discussions about what the Gemara is asking about. After all, we learned before, for example, we learned yesterday that if a chicken puts its head into a glass jar and breaks it with the vibrations, then you're going to be chayev, and surely the chicken didn't mean to be mazik. So he explains, in other words, that the fact is on the face of it, it can't be like rego, because rego is something that it usually causes damage with, and not. But the question would be, where basically would it be like keren muad, or would it be like keren tam? So the question is not whether it's like rego or not. The riva and Shittim Kubetzis explains the question is basically whether it's considered like tam or whether it's considered like muad. And then you have, again, different other ways of explaining it, whether the question would be whether it's considered regal or whether it's considered or whether it's considered keren.
And we said the reason why he was tied the chicken because there were seeds inside?
Now, if there were seeds inside, then we said it's normal for the chicken to put its head in, implying that otherwise it would be considered keren. If it put its head into an empty jar, then it would be. We said over there that it would be nezek shalim because of sumchus, because he holds tzuris nezek shalim, and then because koichai, and then we said that no, if there were seeds inside, even the chacham agree, they would agree it's nezek shalim, because normal for it to put its head inside, but otherwise it would be chatzin nezek. Anyway, so you have several different ways of explaining the Gemara's question. The Nitziv points out another way of explaining the Gemara's question, that look, when you get down to it with keren, you have two things that are unusual about it. It's unusual for the animal to be in that kind of mood, and even if it does, it's unusual that it should cause damage once it actually is in that mood. In the case of this kishkesha ba'amasa, which the Gemara is asking over here, fine, it's not usual for it to have such an urge, but when it does, then it's completely, it's like its yetzahara, it's like the only thing in its mind that it wants to make, so therefore it's going to do damage. So now the question is, do we focus on the fact that it's an uncommon thing, or do we focus on once it's common, once the animal is in this mood, it's almost inevitable that it's going to do damage, as opposed to keren, where even when the animal is in that kind of mood, not necessarily is it going to.
Yeah.
So that would be the question. Yeah. So the Gemara says take. So you can't be sure. So again, we have the as usual a suffix, and therefore we treat it like the other sphakus that we've talked about before. Okay. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Tana Golan Mu'odin Lahalach Kedarkin L'Shabbat V'Chol. We said that chickens are moored to walk in the normal way and to break things. And we went on to talk in the Mishnah about a case where Delil was tied to the chicken's foot, where we said Delil. Either Rashi had said on the Mishnah, Delil means any kind of thing that's tied to the chicken's foot, or Rashi said maybe the gear says Deli, which means a bucket. So a bucket or a pail was attached to the chicken's foot and caused damage. Anyway, so what do we mean? What happened with this Delil exactly? Omanavuna. So now, to begin with, the Gemara is going to assume that we're talking about it's a matter of burr, that somebody tripped over this delil as the chicken was dragging it around. So now, Omanavuna, lo shonu, elish niksha me'eva. This din in the Mishnah would only apply where the delil ended up getting tangled on the chicken's foot on its own. Abba koshrei adam, but if somebody had tied it on, chayev, then he would be chayev full, not chatzin nezek, because of burr. Because he created a burr. The same way, for example, as you put something in Rosh Hasharabim and somebody trips over it, you chayev. The same way over here would be, which to be exact, Tosfos says that we're talking about, first of all, once it stopped, where if the chicken stops in one place and then somebody trips over it, that would be burr. If it's moving, then it's not necessarily burr, then it would be a tolda of a different avnezikin, because after all, a burr doesn't move. And also, Tosfos says, doesn't actually have to be necessarily, according to this, that somebody actually tied it on. It would actually be the person was careless and didn't put away his delil, and then the chicken found it and then dragged it out to Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. The reason is, the question is, Niksha me'elav man chayev, what do you mean? If it got tied onto the chicken's foot by itself, who are we saying is chayev? Ilema balab delil, do you mean the owner of the delil is chayev? Because it's his delil. Why? Hechi dummy. What's the scenario? Ida atne. If he put it away carefully and still the chicken found it, onusu, then he would be onus and he'd be potter. The eli atne. And if he didn't put it away carefully, pesheahu, then he's careless. So in other words, like if he threw it in Rosh Hashanah, Nashi says, then the chicken found it and dragged it someplace else, then he's pesheah. And he's paying nezek shalim. So and yet the Mishnah is saying that you pay chatzi nezek. So what is it? So we understand where koshrei adam is chayev chatzin nezek, but why is the Mishnah saying that if nikshar? Why is Rav Huna telling us that the Mishnah is implying that if it was tied on by itself and the owner is paying chatzin nezek, why is he paying chatzin nezek? Either he was careless and he's paying nezek shalim, or it was an onus and he's potter altogether. So ella chayev bal tarnagol. Do you mean that the owner of the chicken is the one that's chayev? Well, why should that be? Maishna kula nezek deloy. Why are you saying he wouldn't be chayev for the entire nezek? Dichtiv, because the pasuk says ki yiftach ish bur veloy shur bur. What are you chayev for bur? Where a person dug a bur, then the pasuk is saying you chayev, implying by that if an animal dug a bur, then you're potter. So if my animal goes and digs a bur in Rosh Hashanah, and somebody got another animal goes and falls into it, I will be potter because I didn't make that bur, my animal did. So then, by the same token, over here in effect. In effect, over here, you're telling me the chicken is the one who created this burr by grabbing a hold of this delil and getting it onto its feet, and then somebody goes and trips over the delil as the chicken is in Rosh Hashanah. So the owner of the chicken should be potter regardless in terms of burr, and the owner of the delil is going to be chayev either nezek shalim or nothing at all. Why is there where is there a case where he's chayev chatzin nezek? Ella, no. So we can't say the Mishnah is talking about that somebody tripped over it, in which case it would be burr. Ella masnisin b'da'adye aduye. The Mishnah is talking about where the chicken adye the delil. Now Rashi explains that adye means that it threw it. So the chicken had this delil that was tied to its foot or something, and it actually took it with its beak or whatever, with its wings or whatever, and threw it, like maybe to try to get it off it or whatever, and broke kalim in the course of throwing it, in which case it's tsuris. So therefore it's tsuris. So it's Rosh Hashanah. Well, if it's in Rosh Hashanah, you'd be potter. Yeah, but we didn't say it's in Rosh Hashanah. Rabbeinu Hananel actually has a different understanding of the adya aduye, meaning that the chicken kept on pushing at the delil until it actually broke it. So then we're saying he's chayev for the breakage of the delil itself. So then it's not burr, right? We're not talking about burr. We're talking about, though, in other words, but it's mishuna. It's an unusual thing for a chicken to do. So therefore, it would be chatzin nezek because. Yeah, but not to play with it to the extent that it breaks, that to keep on kicking it around until it breaks is an unusual thing, and therefore, yeah. Anyway, the point is, so the Mishnah is taught, V'chi itma, did Rav Huna ba'alma itma. Rather, Rav Huna's statement, when Rav Huna said about the distinction between whether it was tied on or whether the person tied it on, is not having to do with our Mishnah. It was said as a separate statement, not related to our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we're saying the problem with the Delil is that the Delil itself caused damage, or it itself was damaged. Rather, Rav Huna's statement is talking about a different case, Delil Hesker. What if you have a Delil that to begin with was Hesker? So now, Omer Rav Huna, Niksha Me'elav Potter Koshre Adam Chayim. If it got tied on, if the chicken itself got tangled on its own, and then later on somebody tripped over that Delil, then you're going to be Potter, because there's nobody to be Chayev. The owner of the Delil can't be Chayev, because there is no owner. The Delil is Hefker. And the owner of the chicken can't be Chayev, because that's a burr that was made by a shur, and we just said the ish burr vel a shur burr. So therefore, you're going to be Potter regardless.
If he's walking with just some British chicken, he has to watch the chicken when he's doing.
If he's walking with, but if the chicken is walking around by itself, we're saying, and then a Delil of Hefker got tangled in its feet, and then at some point somebody trips over that Delil, then we're saying that he'd be Potter. Koshrei Adam Chayev. But if a person tied that Delil onto the chicken's foot, then later on. So now the Delil has an owner. Rashi points out when he picked it up, he was koneh it. So now when he tied it onto the chicken's foot, now we can be mechayev him later. So mishum mai chayev, on what grounds is he going to be chayev? Amar Rav Huna, b'manoyach, mishum borei hamisgalga b'ragla odom, b'ragla behema. It's similar to what we learned in the first perek. You have a case where you put something in Rishos Rabim, you put a stone or a load or whatever in Rishos Rabim, and animals or people kicked it around to someplace else, and it caused damage in the someplace else where you're also chayev. So the same way over here, you're also going to be chayev because you put the Delil on the chicken in one place, and now the chicken moved around and went to another place, and somebody else tripped over it over there. So therefore, you've created a bird on the scalgo. You've created a bird that moved from one place to another, and therefore now there's what to be mechayev you for.
Why the bird is stationary?
Because that's the thing. So that Tosfos said at the top of the Amud, we are talking about it is stationary at the time when somebody tripped over it. In other words, the chicken was the chicken had stood still with Delil still attached to its leg, and then somebody tripped over the Delil. So that would be classic burr. The difference is now the person who tied it onto the chicken's leg, on the face of it, could argue that, look, you know, I tied it on in point A. Right? It's not my problem that it caused damage in point B. But no, we don't say that. We say once you caused it, then you're chayev for it, no matter where it is. Tosfos actually says it doesn't even really have to be that anybody picked it up at all. We just said before that if you put it in some place where it's exposed and the chicken can easily get to it, you'd also be chayev. So therefore, it's not even really a matter of that you own it. It's really more a matter that you were pesheya, and therefore, so you're chayev for any takola, anything that you put, any kind of obstacle that you put in Rishos Rabim, where somebody trips over it, you're going to be chayev whether you own the thing or not. We're going to talk about those details in more detail, and we're going to talk about those dinim in more detail at the beginning of the next perek. But the fact is, you're chayev if you put something in Rishos Rabim, even if you were mafkir it. We touched on this a few times in the first perek, that if you have, for example, let's say you drop something in Rishos Rabim and you mafkir the broken pieces, they become a bird and you're chayev. They don't belong to you, doesn't matter. Classic bird, doesn't belong to you either, because you dug in Rishos Rabim and you're still chayev. So Tosfos points out the same thing over here. So you don't have to say like Rashi that somebody literally picked up the Delil and made a kinyan on it and then tied it to the leg of the chicken. It would be enough that he left it someplace where the chicken could get to it and he'd still be chayev. If it's Hefker, then we're saying there's no owner of the Delil. So now if the chicken itself found it from Hefker and it got tangled on its leg and somebody else went and tripped over it, that's when Rav Huna is saying he's Potter, because now, as far as the fact that the burr was created by an animal and you're Potter for that, and there's no owner of the Delil to be Mechayev. Okay. Shabbat shalom, everyone.